Let's pray. Father, I pray that we wouldn't feel anything but you. And where we block out feeling it, because we've been familiar, I pray you open us back up to love fresh. To be loved and to love fresh. To hear things that are so hard today, some of the hardest things that you'll ever read in your word are like the next 2 weeks. And sometimes I read it and it doesn't break my heart anymore. And I thank you that you broke my heart again. Not that I don't love you, no, I'll give you my breath. But sometimes we got to feel it. So I pray your spirit, Father, would help me be in spirit and in truth today and not in Sean. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been having a nice walk with Jesus, right? The teacher miracle, right? He's been teaching and doing miracles, and that sounds like a fun trip, right? Follow around Jesus as he's teaching the multitudes, right? And popping miracles left and right. When you read those stories, you're like, man, I'd love to have been there. Anybody, like, you put yourself in the story, go, that'd been great. What'd he do? He freaked them out with the loaves of fish again. Doubled that trick down. Yeah. What's he going to do now? What was he going to do? He's going to raise a little girl from the dead. What? He's never done. Like, he's doing stuff. He's popping and he's ticking people off, you know? We've been observing God and his word and his heart. Like, we're hearing his word. He is the word, and we're seeing his heart in Jesus, right? There's a balance to sometimes, especially on a Sunday, there's a pressure relief, I feel, like I said, to avoid hard things. Sometimes y'all throw up funny things and get us to take a breath, right? Marisol, like, as you're putting on the gas, like, pull over. I get it. Today, I don't have a lot of that. There's some things I feel, like I said, we got a few. This is Mark chapter 15, but we have bonus tracks. Back in the day, have you ever bought an album or a cassette tape? And it... or a CD, maybe. And you didn't realize when you got it, there's a bonus track. You're like, a bonus track? Have you listened to the bonus track? I didn't know it was on there. You were like, yeah, man, they stuck a bonus track on there. You know? If you don't know, it's just sad. I feel bad for you there. There's some bonus tracks today for chapter 15 is all I'm saying. We left off with Jesus was doing stuff, right? Say stuff. He's doing stuff. Like, some people are getting healed. Straight up healed. Can't explain it. On the dot. Healed. He does funky things. He'll spit on one dude. Another guy just casting out demons. Like, it's a show, right? Stuff's happening. And then lots of people are getting forgiven. That gets lost in the miracle, right? Because that's a greater miracle. Me finding Jesus was just as much a miracle to me as the guy getting healed from leprosy. Like, it was that big a miracle for me. When you're going to hell on a full ride scholarship, and all of a sudden you're not, whew, Jesus, right? Anybody? Harold, you here, you better raise your hand. Thank you. And some other people are getting forever changed, right? They're walking different. They're talking different. They're going out telling the story. They're getting forever healed, changed. And then say some people are getting more jealous and madder and madder and madder at Jesus. Why? Because he's God's way and that's not the way they want it. He's God's way and that's not the way they want it, right? So our bonus track today, I felt compelled to include it before we jump into chapter 15. If we finish it, Lord, please. Mark 14, 1 through 2. And it was now 2 days before the Passover, the festival of the unleavened bread. You know, they had come in and they're waving their palms and Hosannaias, and they're shouting stuff down and they're laying their coats and they're like, Jesus is in town. It was like, whoa, the Messiah. Everybody's stoked, right? They're here for Passover, and it says, and the chief priests and the scribes were searching for a deceitful way. Say, that's messed up. These are the leaders. Do you want your leaders of any kind looking for a deceitful way to do anything? Yeah, like, no, don't be, like, I don't want my leaders being deceitful of any kind, right? It says, but they were searching for a deceitful way to arrest Jesus and to kill him. Remember, jealousy will cause you to kill the things you should love. Jealousy will cause you to kill the things you should love, right? But they were saying, not during the festival. Why? Because you saw the people, right? Like, they're like loving on Jesus. We got to find a way to bring that down a notch. Because if we do him now, that's like It's like taking out Capone in his own neighborhood. They're coming after you. If you don't know, I'm glad you don't know. All the old Italians are going, shh, don't mention Capone. Just, you know, from the pulpit. You know. But that's how they felt. It says, but they were saying, not during the festival, for the people might riot. But who knows? The crowd's always fickle. Crowd can switch in a minute. Crowds can be fickle. These verses really could be a message by themselves. But say, Pastor, it's a bonus track. Okay. Okay. Mark 14, 3 through 9. Mark 14, 3 through 9. Are we good? I'll read it anyhow. They'll catch up. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, so here he is, a healed leper he's having dinner with, a woman came. Now, in our culture, that doesn't seem like why geek out. But it's like, here's a men's club of guys having dinner, and this lady shows up. It's uncomfortable, you know. A woman came with an alabaster vial of very costly and precious perfume of pure nard. Very costly and very precious. And she broke the vial and poured the perfume over his head. But, there were some, right, some bad hearts. Lead to bad vision. If your heart's bad, you're going to see something that's good and you're going to think it's bad. There were some who were indignantly remarking to one another. I got to pause, pull over there. Are you up with me? Not yet. It's okay. That's what it says. Indignantly remarking to one another. Here's a little leadership tip for you. Ready? If you have to complain, complain upwards, not laterally. If you have to complain, and chances are you don't. There's an 85% chance you don't. But if you have to, always complain up, not laterally. It'll help you. Indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? When you give God anything, especially your best, it's never wasted. I can't believe you're that extravagant. You did that for God? Trust me. Even if you went overboard and you shouldn't have, you're like, no, like you missed it. God, you never give him something that he wastes. Whatever you give him, he won't waste it. So to have that outlook in that moment, if you're his. Plus, if you give with the attitude you're giving to a church, a guy, a place, you're tithing to an organization, they might be the vessel, but you're really doing it for God. That's what you're trusting in. It shouldn't be to a person, place, or thing. So if you're giving it as holy to God, no matter what that person does, God will deal with them. Trust me, if you've seen God, God will deal with them. But when you give it, it's to God. Don't worry about it after that. Just stuff will help you. You know. It says, for this perfume might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, a laborer's wages for almost a year. Man, I want to smell that stuff. I like to smell good. Jess, you like to smell good? If I had a couple drops of that, you'd be like, Pastor, you hook me up on the side, you know. Yeah, we'd be talking, you know. Might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor. Now, at first glance, when I first read this for the first time, I went, yep, that makes sense. You're helping the poor. That's what we're doing. We're right. Jesus is doing things. Okay. But then I had to get mature and think about it this way. Who put you in charge of what other people do for God? Who put you in charge of what people do with their own stuff? Who put you in charge of what people do with their own stuff? If they want to give it to God, they want to set it on fire, they want to make a hula hoop out of it. It's their stuff. Just saying. And what did Jesus do? And what did the disciples do? It says, and they scolded her. Some of them. I got a feeling who those some were. Just saying, I'm not trying to be judgy, but I'm just saying. But Jesus said, let her alone. Back up. Why are you bothering her and causing her trouble? Okay. He just had this costly 300 denarii perfume poured all over him. And they're like, woman, who even let you in here? And you wasted stuff. Like poor could have been. He says, you leave her alone. Stop. Why are you even causing her trouble? She has done a good and beautiful thing to me. This has nothing to do with you guys. Plus, sometimes priorities change. He's about to say that. Sometimes priorities change. Priorities aren't always going to be the poor in moments. Or the priorities aren't going to be pleasantry. You got to shout sometimes, right? So Jesus saying, hey, priorities change sometimes. And she actually saw a priority that you don't see. For you always have the poor with you. That's a fact. It's still the test of time. You can't drive down our main street in Apache Junction. Beautiful Apache Junction. Crown of the Southwest. Crown of the Southwest. You cannot drive down our being freshly remodeled roads without seeing the poor still today. That 300 denarii wouldn't have fixed it. And whenever you wish, Jesus is still getting on to the guy. And whenever you wish, you can do something good to them. Just do it often as you like, man. Go take a change. Go out there. Take care of them. Hook them up. Actually, you're going to get an opportunity to come up in a couple weeks. We're going to do an impact challenge. You're going to get a chance to do just that. Man, I want to let the cat out of the bag, but I'll move on. Look at the time. Keep moving. But, he says, you could have done that anytime you want. Go take care of the poor. They're always going to be there. But you will not always have me. I'm leaving humanity behind in a couple days. She has done what she could. Pause. She gave her very best to me. Do what you can. We always look at what we can't do. Well, I just can't do that. Well, what is he asking you to do? What do you have in your hand to do it with? You got something. You have something. It could be a beautiful rock garden like Taylor, my friend. If she gives you a rock, or one of my grandkids gives you a rock, a kid gives you a rock, have you ever seen that penguin show where it's like a pebble and a penguin? It's like a diamond. Like, you don't go, oh, a rock, a chunk of your shoulder. You'll cause me to sin. I'll judge you. Put it in your pocket and say, wow, it's the best thing ever. Why? Because she gave you what she had. That's what she had. That's like, this is the best rock. You give me the best rock. Wow. It's the same as an alabaster jar worth 300 denarii, you know. She's done what she could. Do we do what we can? Honestly, how often do we give our best to anything? Not just God, but to anything. But if anything deserves our best, wouldn't it be God who brought us up out of that grave? Remember your grave? How many of you, when you sing that song, go, oh man, my grave was ugly. I'm so glad to be out of that grave. I can get excited, but first I don't have energy and only had half a cup of coffee and, you know, maybe a Alani or seven, but I'm still feeling drowned down. But I get out of that grave. Yeah, I remember my grave. I better stand up and get out of my grave again and say thank you. That's happened to me all in like 4 seconds. I'm just saying. She has anointed my body beforehand for my burial. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, so he's getting serious, wherever the good news regarding salvation is proclaimed throughout the world, wherever the good news regarding salvation is proclaimed throughout the world, wherever this story of my death, burial, and resurrection is told, whenever it's told, what she has done will be told. How could I not share it? He said, wherever you share the gospel, you share this. He's telling those guys, you were scolding and stuff, but forever she's going to be in my word for what she brought me of her very best. She gave me what she could. She saw what you didn't. She has done what she could, and what she has done will be told. What she has done will be told in memory of her. So imagine if I cut that out today. What a jerk, right? Can't do that. Jesus said it should be told. So apparently I had to make it wake in the servant. So I thought we'd stay in 14, just a couple little bonus tracks more to get a feel for what's going on. You know, Kaylee wants to, so we might as well. Mark 14, do we have that one? 10 through 11? It's okay. Bob has a Bible. You can crowd all around him. He'd love it. She says, Bob's right there. Is that what she's saying? Oh, no, the scripture. That's what she's talking about. Okay, got it. You're off the hook, Bob. Mark 14, 10 through 11. Then Judas Iscariot, say boo. Boo. Yeah, we can boo, but help us. Help us keep right priorities, or Judas can happen to us too. Check your priorities. Remember, that's what this whole series has been about. Check your priorities. What's Jesus saying versus what am I doing, thinking, feeling, and doing? I'm thinking and feeling and doing. Right? Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, right after this incident. You notice that, Jody? You know, some of those guys were indignant about what was they were doing, she was doing with her own stuff to bless Jesus and what it could have cost and who could have got the money. And then right after that, just one of them, he decides to, you know, go to the chief priest about betraying Jesus to them. Jealousy will kill things you should love. And when they heard this, they were delighted and promised to give him money. They promised to give him money. Say, that's a messed up priority, bro. That's a messed up priority, bro. We never would choose money over Jesus. Money over God's ways? Never. Say, disc. Never would do that. And he began looking for the opportune time to betray Jesus. Says, check the time. My past me was talking to my future me right now. For time's sake, we're going to jump down. Scroll down. I'm going to scroll down to when he's turned over. But I want us to hear it differently. I want us to feel it differently. I want us to remember things on a deeper level and maybe even at a flesh level too. All the levels, right? He's about to bear the consequences of removal of sin from the world. That's what this is about. This is what it looked like to bear the sin of the world, the picture for us to see. Like, it sounds sadistic to send your child to save the world. Right? But what greater love? What can you give that's greater than that to prove? What we give our greatest is our breath, right? That's the best you can get is what you have. That's it, right? And he's about to bear, not only die, but he's about to bear the sins of the world. Say, I am part of the world. Bonus track, Mark 14, 61 through 62. But then Jesus kept silent, and he gave no answers at all. They're accusing him of stuff. And again, the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, are you the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the son of the blessed one? I can see it like a taunt, you know, trash talking. Are you? Tell us. Tell us right now, Jesus, in front of everybody. You tell us, are you that? And what did he say? I am. He said, I am that. I'm going to answer it for you clearly. If you haven't seen it on the highways and byways, if you haven't seen it, what's going on in the world, if you haven't seen it in the change for given lives and lepers, if you haven't seen it, no matter what I say, it's going to change your mind. But I'll tell you. You want to know? I'm going to tell you. He said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man. And he gets a little bit. He goes, I'm going to answer this. It's going to really go against their feathers, you know. And you're going to see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And at first, Kirsten, my daughter, was nervous this past week about that. Because we saw SpaceX being launched out into the sky. I don't know if you saw that. I didn't know what was happening. So I went outside and I went Red Dawn first thing. I didn't think about Jesus coming back. I went, oh, the Russians are coming. I saw this in 1985. I got to go back. Go, go, go. We got to go. Right? Call everybody. Like, no, I'm serious. I called an officer friend of mine. I said, hey, do you know of anything suspicious? Should we be kicking it? Call me back. Have you been? Look outside. Pastor Marty, look outside. And Kirsten goes, man, is he coming back on the clouds like right now? We got on Google. So what's happening? Oh, SpaceX. Whew. Okay, SpaceX. Got it. Right. Miley said you're going to read everything I skipped today anyways and not to worry about it. So we're going to skip some stuff that I would like to cover, stuff like his boys all left him. His faithful 11, gone. Left him. I'll never leave you. I'm here for you. I'll fight the Romans. I'll jack a fool up. I'll cut a dude's ear off. Hoorah, I'm all in. I've seen what you've done. You're the King of Kings. We've confessed you as Lord and Savior. We know you're the Messiah. You're one. We are your boys. We are here. Left him. And then I'm going to skip how Peter lied, denied, and then cried. You know, He lied, denied, and cried. We're going to skip that. Now we're going to go to chapter 15. Now this is, I'm glad the kids aren't in here because this is going to get graphic and emotional and real. And please try not to assume you know it all. That you've moved past it letting impact you. Because you've been saved for 25, 30 years. Or let it impact you like it did the first time. What if you fell in love again? What if you felt loved again? Like you felt it. You know you are, right? What if you felt it again? Just felt it. Wouldn't it be great to feel that? It's hard, but you should feel it today. It's good to let it re-impact us every time we hear it. It's the biggest miracle in the world's about to come up is this death, burial, and resurrection. Nothing greater than that's ever been done. And that's great to celebrate, but we're on the road there. And today we might not leave off at a place where he's up out of that grave. Actually, we're not. If you've ever had to bury someone you love, it takes time to get used to them being gone. And these guys were grieving what was forever gone. It was more than just their friend. It was the hope of the world that they had put everything into. So feel it, okay? Mark 15:1. Early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes and the whole council immediately consulted together, and they bound Jesus and took him away violently. Takes me off right there. And they handed him over to Pilate. What cowards. Just saying. I'll move on because of the time. Mark 15:2 through 5. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he replied to him, "It's as you say." He said, "I've told everybody." The chief priests began accusing him of many things. And then Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer to give? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus gave him no further answer. So Pilate was like perplexed. He's like, "Dude, I'm going to give you a chance to get off the hook. Answer yourself. I don't like these guys either." He knows they're punks. He's been working with them. He's a punk. Punks recognize punks. They're both punks. I don't want to work with them. They don't like them. So he's like, I know why they want you here. They're all jealous. Right? And Jesus basically says, "I said what I said. I've done what I've done. I don't got to plead my case. It's already been done." Mark 15:6 through 10. Now at the Passover feast, Pilate used to set free for them one prisoner whom they requested. The man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists, the revolutionaries, and he committed murder and civil rebellion. Roman law and Hebrew law all have a thing about murder. It's like one of the top ones, you know. If you read the top 10 that Moses got out, they was like, "That's in there. That's a top tenner for anyone, right? Yeah, murderer." So God loves murderers and he forgives them and sets them free, doesn't he, Harold? God does that too. God can do anything he wants. But he's saying, "Hey, here's a guy who I know that you know is a bad dude. I can set him free or this Jesus cat," you know? The crowd came up and began asking Pilate to do this. They set one of our prisoners free. Pilate said to them, saying, "Do you want me to set free for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priests had turned Jesus over to him because of envy and resentment. All right, I'm going to give a pressure relief because I know it's tough. Look at a picture of envy and resentment, just a quick one. You don't know if made it? All right. You can picture that little cartoon anger guy that's a flame. That's what he was supposed to be there. That guy. He's supposed to be there, but he's not there. Say, "I renounce jealousy, envy, and resentment." That ain't me. That ain't me. Get down. Mark 15:11 through 15. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd. Well, this crowd was just going, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Throw my corduroy coat on the ground." Right? Jesus is in town. What up? The Messiah's back. Romans, deal with it. We got a king. We're going to roll deep. We're taking this place back. You punks are in trouble. Hosanna. See him? He's on a colt, all kingly and such. you should recognize, you know. But the chief priest stirred up that crowd to get them to release Barabbas for them instead. And again, Pilate answered, then what shall I do with him who you call King of the Jews? They screamed back. They screamed back. Remember the last time we heard about screaming? Wasn't it done by the demons? Weren't they the ones when Jesus showed up were screaming? Just because it looks like it could be. Religious folk carry that too. If you don't seek Jesus as the priority here, what religious fashion tells you, you missed it. They scream back. Crucify him. Imagine that screaming. Crucify him. But Pilate asked them, why? Legit, he's like, what? It blew his mind. What? We've read it over and over again. We see it like, oh, like we know what's going to happen. We know Pilate's going to say this, going to say that. But being that moment, Pilate's like, are you kidding me? Like, this guy's doing good in your community. And even over here in the Gerasenes, I'm hearing about him healing Gentile people. And like, so the people love him and they're throwing stuff on the ground. You guys are jealous. And you want the murderer who killed some of your people, my people, you want him out. Why? Why? What has he done that's evil? You know what the bigger answer is? Nothing, because he's perfect. Sinless, spotless lamb. That's one of the reasons he's there. Right. But they screamed all the more. Man, that's irritating to me. Just saying. And they screamed all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, of course, set Barabbas free for them. And after having Jesus scourged, we're going to pause on scourge in a second, he handed him over to be crucified. There's no small children here, right? Good. Scourged. You ready for this? It's a gory, horrific beating that often causes death by itself. Most people don't make it through the scourging. It's brutal. Ripping pieces of organs out because things get stuck into the flesh with this ball of metal spikes, and it's stuck into the rib cage, and they yank it off so parts of the rib cage can be exposed already. Scourging. Worse than that, worse than the beating part, I want us to see the brutality. But worse than that, what he bore in his body was sin. And that's what he's showing it. This is what it looks like. You guys aren't going to get it unless I give you a visual picture of something I love. Right. Yeah. And I won't read it, but in 1 Peter 2:24, he fulfilled it. It says, by his stripes we were healed. Right in that moment, as he's being scourged, it says, by his stripes we were healed. That means that beating he took perfect and sinless. That sin came upon him for me. So by his stripes is the only reason I could get healed. That should make you uncomfortable all over again. All right. Mark 15:16. The soldiers led him away into the palace, and they called together the entire Roman battalion. Wait, they called in 600 soldiers. You know, at first you go, no biggie. Jesus faced a legion of demons. What's 600 soldiers? Lord, then I go, Lord, why were they all there? What's the importance of that, you know? It's interesting because there were that many witnesses who had to see it. Story couldn't be made up in a back room somewhere. 600 soldiers were there watching on top of everybody else. This story was getting out as it was done. It was going to start proving around the world this happened. Witness after witness saw it. Okay. So they dressed him up in purple after twisting together a crown of thorns. If you ever watch The Passion, unfortunately, they do it really well. And they placed it on him. And that sounds like, you know, if you don't read the Greek in this, I encourage you to read the Greek and Hebrew, get a concordance sometime and dig in. It doesn't mean like they put it on his head like, oh, crowned him, jammed it down, you know. Bah! Deal with that, right? And they placed it on him, and they began saluting and mocking him. Hail, King of the Jews! You know what else they kept doing? They kept beating him. And they kept beating him. And it says, in the scriptures, go check it out, it says, he was bruised for our transgression. Why did they keep beating him? Because of my sin. That's why they kept beating him. Bruised for my transgression. It says they kept beating him, and on the head with a reed, a stick, and spitting on him, and kneeling and bowing and mock homage to him. And after they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes and led him out of the city to crucify him. You know why he was scourged? So we weren't lost forever. Mark 15:21. Here's a cool one. They forced into service a passerby coming in from the countryside, Simon of Cyrene. Check out the footnotes in this, though. The father of Alexander and Rufus to carry the cross. Okay, why did he throw that in there? Simon of Cyrene, who carries the cross, had no business being there. Jesus got pulled in. Why did they bring him in to even carry the cross for Jesus? Suck it up, Jesus, carry the cross. Because they beat him so bad he couldn't. So they grabbed a dude, said, you do it. And this guy's like, come on, man, I don't know. What? Okay. He had to watch the whole thing. You know what happens to him? He becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus. After that, what he saw, and his kids and his grandkids began to serve God because of that. Just saying, that's why it's in there. Jesus' body is such a mess. He and his family, Simon's family, are impacted by this. And it's not Roman cruelty, you know, that did it. That's the brutal part. The brutality of this is the consequences of sin in his body. He took that out on purpose. I'd like to blame the Romans. I gotta blame me. That's why I love him so much. Who would do that for you? Hallie's nice, but she ain't that nice, right? Mark 15:22-23. Then they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh to dull the pain, but he would not take it. You know why? You know why he wouldn't take it? Because he had to bear the full horror of it. That was the deal he made with the Father. Or you're going to have to bear it all. You can't, nothing's going to dull and take it away. You've got to bear it. You're going to have to bear this in the world. You can't be anesthetized to it. You're going to actually become it. And he didn't even understand the full aspect of that, because when he cries out, why have you forsaken me? He's like, I've never been without you in my life. Where are you? You became sin. I can't even look at you. Ah! You know? Anyways, I'll start bawling, Joey. They brought him to Golgotha, and they tried to give him myrrh and dull him with pain. Unfortunately, he had to bear it. Mark 15:24-26. And it says, and they crucified him. And they crucified him. And then he divided up his clothes among them, casting lots. Because it's fulfillment of scripture, though they didn't realize. And then they put this inscription on top of him. The accusation for which he was there. That's what they did, you know. Thief, murderer, tax evader, you know. The king of the Jews. If you read other translations of the Gospels, the high priest had a real problem with that title. And the crazy thing is, when they, not in Mark, go read it. The crazy thing is, when he said, they said, you know, this isn't your king. He said, no, we have one king, it's Caesar. Oh, dude. That's in your laws too. Like that whole master and lord thing, that's for Adonai Yahweh, king's lord of lords. You just said you'd rather have Caesar? Oh. No wonder he's dealing with you cats. And they crucified him. They divided his stuff. They wrote, King of the Jews. Mark 15:27-28. They crucified two robbers with him. One on his right and one on his left. Cool part, you want to read it if you get a chance. In Luke 23:42, one of these guys repents just before he dies. And that was the most beautiful thing to me I've ever read. Because this guy was mocking him, you'll see, right up. And all of a sudden, he gets a revelation, and then he goes, Jesus, forgive me, can I be with you? Can you tell your father? He's like, today, I'll take you today. Like, how's that dude deserve that? I mean, there's dudes in line from ancient history, and homeboy that was mocking you just a second ago, he did deserve what he got, and then he was busting on you, Lord of Lords, and you're going to go, yeah, I forgive you. Come with me today. Man, how graceful is God. Right. Chew. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was counted amongst the transgressors. You know when that scripture was written? 700 years before it happened. 700 years before that, God told Isaiah, I believe, and said, hey, this is what's going to happen to the Messiah. I'll write that down. No one's going to believe this stuff, God. And then everybody read it, like probably the first week. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's like 700 years. Boom, happens. It's in Isaiah 53:12, if you want to look it up. That's where it is. Mark 15:29-30. And those who were passing by were insulting him with abusive and insolent language, wagging their heads and saying, ha! You would have destroyed the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days. Save yourself. Save yourself. Save yourself. By coming down from the cross. Here's a stunning fact. If he had saved himself, which he was fully capable of doing. It said, he even said early, hey, if I wanted to, told this voice, I can bring a legion of angels and just dust everyone here. I have that. That can be done. But if he did that, man's hope for eternity would be lost. If he came off the cross and saved himself, we'd be lost. Could have, but didn't. I'm not like Jesus like that. I think when I would have had enough, they taught me, I'm up here doing this for you. Can't you see this was brutal? You don't know what I like to bear the sin of the world. You just see me getting a beating. You have no idea what bearing the sin of the world for you, for ungrateful people, is doing. But I'm up here, I'm dealing, and you're talking trash to me. I want to come out right now. Legions of angels, dust them. Let's start over again. Humanity, part two. Thank God, Sean Capozzi didn't have to die for your sins. I don't think I'd have made it that far. I'm just saying, that's how I read it, Jake. Wouldn't you? Come on, you got a little, and you're like, come on, I got to take so much. You know, a little Popeye in you, I stands all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. That'd have been where I was at. And Jesus said, I lay down my own life, Randy. You're not even taking it from me. Here they are. Save yourself. If I did, you'd be lost. You have no idea, right? He also knew if he didn't, he wouldn't be finishing his father's business, and that's the main thing that bothered him too. Obedience can be hard, right? Mark 15:31-32. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribe, were ridiculing and mocking him among themselves and saying, he saved others from death. They acknowledge it. Look at right there, they acknowledge it. He saved others from death. Yeah, those miracles were from, he did do those things. But they still can't see who he is. They acknowledge what they saw him do, but they still can't see who he is. Jealousy will cause you to kill the things you love. He says he can't save himself. You want to learn some Italian? This is what I felt like saying right here, and it's not cussing. Don't worry, you can look it up. He can't save himself. I say stata. Say stata. Zit. Stut up. Shut it down. Cut the grass. Shut your mouth. Right? When I hear that, I'm like, don't be taunting him anymore. You don't know me, Romans. You know, high priest, I've been wanting to talk to you in the alley anyways. You know, stata zit. He can't save himself even. Listen. It says, let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that he may see, that we may see, believe, and trust. Now, I talked about why he can't. But I wonder if he was ever tempted right there. Like I said, I'd have been. Jacob said he'd have been. And those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. If he had chosen to save himself, humanity be lost. His choice saved us. Right. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Mark 15:30-39. When the sixth hour came, noon, darkness covered the whole land until the ninth hour. Eclipse. Boom, gone, right? There's this big thing in the eclipse lately, going to hit the middle of the United States. And, you know, so just a little joke because I know it's been tense. I thank you. Okay. It says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Jeff, you're going to love this. He cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, yama sabachthani. Yeah, nah, whatever, I didn't say it well. Right. This is hard, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like, I didn't realize what it'd be like, this part of it, because you've always been with me. I could take anything, but now I'm taking everything and you've got to dip. Oh, right. And he's saying, why? Like, why? I didn't understand that part, maybe, or it feels so terrible. His flesh is crying out. He's my man who was perfect and God in the flesh. So his flesh was somehow crying out. Ever been there? Ever been serving God somewhere and something happened, smacked you, took your legs out? We've had it as a church, crushed you for a while. And you went, my God, where are you? You felt that way a little bit before? Imagine that moment, right? Imagine that, crying out. Some of the bystanders heard him and said, look, he's calling out for Elijah. It makes me laugh because they should, if they went to Hebrew school, they'd know that's not what he was saying. They didn't even go to the synagogue and learn, like, I think he's calling out Elijah. He just said, my God, my God. I skipped a few classes. I don't know. So someone ran and filled a sponge of sour wine and put the reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, let us see whether Elijah is coming to take him down. But Jesus uttered in a loud cry and breathed out his last. Voluntarily, sovereignly dismissing and releasing his spirit from his body, he made a choice. Voluntarily, sovereignly dismissing and releasing his spirit from his body. In what? In submission to his Father's plan. Submission to his Father's plan. Right? Before time began, the devil knew God's law had consequences and that no one could fulfill it. From the beginning of time, he knew these are the laws of God. The kingdom of God operates a certain way and always will. And man is going to blow and mess that up royally. And every time someone tries, he goes, go ahead, Elijah's awesome. He's going to sin. You watch. Sin. He couldn't do it. Your boy Abraham, who you spend time with, he loves you. He sees you face to face. All three of you, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, meet with him at tent. You break some meals together. You're kicking it. You get, like, he's going to blow it too. They're all going to blow it. Every single one of them. All your kids are going to blow it. Not Jesus. The Father's plan. Right? Mankind, darkness, death, the veil. The Holy of Holies had this amazing thing happen at that time. It was torn in two from top to bottom. Like someone grabbed it at the top like a sheet of paper and went, whoop. Why is that significant? I would have Jeff tell you, but I'm up here, so I'm going to kind of nutshell it. He'll give you details if you want it. Being saved as a Hebrew man, he'll know it. Right? But that was the curtain that kept mankind from entering in to the presence of God's Holy of Holies. So when Jesus bore sin for mankind, God said, now there's a way for direct access to me that you never had before. Yeah, talk about a bonus track, Hallie, right? Top to bottom. And then the centurion who's right there as he's watching this, right? And they don't share it like in Luke where they jab him, make sure he's good and dead, they jab him in the side, right? That centurion was standing opposite him, saw the way he breathed his last, being fully in control, and he said this, truly, this man was the Son of God. Truly, this man was the Son of God. That's a profound statement, right? I could close there, but I still have time. Let's hear the rest anyways. So, it's finished. He completed all his tasks. He made the bridge from man to God. No more needs doing. It's done. This is some beautiful stuff. Mark 15:40-41. Now some women, Your woman in the house shouted. And some women, right? They always say, well, the 12 guys. No, some women. Yeah. Women didn't have ministry. Oh, I'm going to tell you they did. Yes. Right here, GC, I'm just going to tell you they did. Some women were watching from a distance. Where are the guys? They're not even watching from a distance. So back up, you know. Women who were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less of Jose, and Salome. Jose, yeah, because we did it in Spanish. So Jose. When I can say Jose, my girl. When Jesus was in Galilee, right? The women used to accompany him and minister to him. Shocking. God loves his girls too. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So don't tell me he wasn't shaking up the world. He wasn't just had male disciples. He had these girls. They hung in the back, but they were with him. And they were with him when the guys weren't with him. And one of them gets to be the first to see the risen Savior. It wasn't Peter, James, John in the sailboat. No. And the first woman to pronounce he's risen, right? So the next part is inspirational personally to me and has a specialness because God spoke to me in it when I first got saved. And so I kept it in there too because I wanted to share because I feel like there's something for the body in it as well. Okay. Mark 15:42-47. When the evening had already came, because it was the preparation day, that is the day of the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came. Some of you know I have a ministry called Arimathea Ministries. This is why. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent and respected member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God must have been sought by each individual. Right? So he himself, it's like the council may have done one thing, but he was seeking the kingdom of God, so he saw Jesus for who he was. Right? Oh, Jesus, heal the baby. Oh, my goodness. And he courageously dared to go into before Pilate. So this Jewish guy is going to go approach the guy, Roman guy in charge. Took some courage. And what did he do? He asked for the body of Jesus. What's the significance here? When they hit me, this is what hit me. And I'll share it with you. I remember I was sitting like the third row of Bishop Pierce's church when it was the old sanctuary. And this just hit me out of nowhere. He said, he asked for my broken and beaten body. It was lifeless. And then he was part of the process of seeing it mended, healed, and restored so I could rise again. You go do the same thing. Go find the broken people in the body of Christ. Pour in oil. Wrap them up. Love them up, though they seem dead. And then he said, especially my leaders. Go do that for my leaders because they're broken. And most of them are crashing because they can't handle the pressure of balancing life, ministry, and a job. And they're doing their very best. They're giving what they have, but they're human. They're not Jesus, and they're falling by the wayside. And if you were a Christian in the 80s, you began to see it popping. Men of God were just crashing. Who had miracle ministries? Jesus was getting the glory. But so he said, you go minister to those that are dead in the body of Christ, and you get them ready to rise again. I said, okay. So how old was I? 21, 22. I said, okay, Lord, how do I do that? I'm a college kid / pizza delivery guy / working at the gym / I'm going to the Air Force someday, right? I'm blowing my knee out. That's done. Okay. I had a plan. He said, no, this is your plan. This is what you're going to do. But it's not just for me because it's still our job today. It's our job. Say, I am the church. Yeah, it's our job. He brings you a broken, right? Somebody knows somebody who got hurt in church, don't you? Anybody know somebody got hurt in church? It happens. People hurt people. There's no perfect, right? But our job isn't to make the hurt worse and go, I know. You know, those Catholics are tough. Hey, I'm an ex-Catholic. Hey, I love them. I know some born-again Catholic folks that make some TV preachers embarrassed. Just saying. Pilate wondered if he was dead by this time. Only been like 6 hours. And he summoned the centurion and asked whether he was already dead. You know why? Because history needed to show he was dead. Well, they laid him in, but he wasn't quite dead. He was, they couldn't detect his breathing because they didn't have pulsometers back then. Okay. Well, they made sure he was dead, and they put it in the records as dead. That's why he asked, is he dead? Yeah. Oh, I saw him. He's dead. Poked him. Dead. Right? Pilate wondered, so he asked. Proof of death. And when he learned from the centurions that Jesus was in fact dead, say fact, right? Then he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph purchased a fine linen cloth for wrapping the body up. Great quality for carrying people of God. When we try to take care of pastors before they get into a mess, and some that have been in messes, and kind of get them out of the mess and back to serving God again. That's what we try and do, right? Dr. Heidi and I, that's one of our focuses, is what we try to do. We shouldn't skimp on quality when we come taking care of things for Jesus. Alabaster jar was her very best, right? Even after he was dead, well, we'll just throw some old lava sheet on him, we'll be good. No, he said, go buy a fine cloth. Here's my debit card, go get my fine cloth for wrapping the body. And after taking Jesus down from the cross, he wrapped him in linen cloth and laid him in his own tomb. So he was cleaned, oiled, wrapped. Wrapped him in the cloth and placed him in a tomb which had been cut out of rock. Another high quality thing, right? Cut out of rock. He wasn't just dumped into it. He was cut out of rock. Impenetrable place, right? And then they rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jose, were watching to see where he was laid. Now, I know you know what's going to happen next, so it doesn't impact us. Well, we know Easter's coming. He's going to rise. Like, you're stoked about it already, right? But imagine the sadness they had because their hope was gone. All the expectations smashed, right? Everything you hoped was going to change has now changed. And the church taking care of each other is what we're called to do after this moment. Now, I have you under 11:40. I want to give you an opportunity, and this is really an opportunity. You heard the word. And sometimes in worship, we get so caught up in singing a song, or do we sound good? I want to make an opportunity for you as an individual in here today. I'm going to play 16 minutes worth of song. And actually, if Dr. Heidi wants to take it off after 9, she can. It's an extra, really, it's only been an extra 13 minutes of your life if I did the whole thing. But what if you took this time and said, God, I'm here. I want to say thank you. And I'm out of the graves I used to be in. And if you've never been taken out of a grave, and you're in a grave right now, and you're broken and you're beaten and you can't take it, he can come and heal you in these moments. He doesn't need me to come do it. So if you'd like to take advantage of an opportunity, I'm going to make it here in a second. If not, I'm going to pray us out, but I'm going to have some music play. And we'll get the lights, and the children's teachers can thank me later. Yeah. So, Father, we honored your girl who gave you her best. Lord, I pray at the end of the service we give you that. I don't know if we all gave our best during worship, Father. I try to give you my best every Sunday. Beyond that, I'm shaky sometimes, but every worship. So, Father, I pray you'd receive some alabaster jars today. Folks would feel comfortable to break their jar and give you their best and meet with you, Lord. And those, Father, that need to go home and they've got things to do, you bless them as they go and you work the word in their life. And I pray you bring them back here to Resurrection Sunday because the story's not over. The story's not over. It's only the beginning, Lord God. And as somber and as difficult as it was to have our sins bore for us, there's a Resurrection Sunday coming. So, Lord, I pray you send them into that and bring them back to celebrate with us on Sunday. And those of us that need to linger with you a minute longer, I pray that we would do so. In Jesus' name, amen.